That was Elizabeth Hepburn with Children of Light. Welcome to Let's Find Out. The focus of this program is to have our hearts open to a universal, united, kind, loving, and forgiving planet. We've entered into a new decade and a new energy form, the transformational 20s. Let's all begin to strengthen the new energies on the planet, strengthen your intuition, and strive to live a peaceful existence free from fear. What strategies, prayers, meditations, and exercise can you use to tap into the higher realms and receive messages from your departed loved ones, creating a higher vibration of living? When we are upset and confused, where can we find the answers? How can we know which path to take? The answers are here on Let's Find Out, with our spiritually focused format and guests. Each episode includes Elizabeth Joyce's weekly stargazing report, a guided healing meditation, as well as Ascension music by Richard Schulman. The purpose of every broadcast is to raise your personal vibration. Now it's time for tonight's program, Let's Find Out, with Elizabeth Joyce.
Good evening, this is Elizabeth Joyce, and we're coming into next week's winter solstice. And we're very lucky tonight because my guest is Mark Dodich, the famed astrologer. And we're going to discuss between now and March, the spring equinox. So good evening, Mark. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Can you believe the year's almost over?
No, I can't. The one thing that I'm noticing is that the winter solstice is with the moon in Aries. Is that correct?
You know, I cast my chart for the Pacific time zone where it's at the very first degree of Taurus.
Oh, okay.
And the thing is, it's aligned with the planet Jupiter, regardless if it's in the last degree of Aries or first degree of Taurus. And Jupiter's, you know, the god of blessings, abundance, expansion.
Yeah, but how near is it to Uranus? Uranus and Jupiter are both in Taurus.
Yeah, they're actually going to align in April, which will be an interesting topic for in a couple of months. But that only happens every 13 to 14 years. So you're correct that this is kind of the, even though it's not, you know how in astrology we talk about orbs, how close to exact is exact. It's not close yet, but it's getting there. And, you know, part of that is, you know, we've gone through all these planets being retrograde over the past several months, you know, which I call treading water or going nowhere fast. And finally, they're starting to move forward at this point in time. So, you know, get our backside in gear and get moving.
Yeah, the only thing we have to worry about, wait for, I think, is Neptune. Is that right?
Oh, you know, that's a really interesting, it's a little bit out there topic, but you know, we know Neptune has been in Pisces, its favorite sign, since 2011, spends about 14 years in each sign. And this year it goes up to the very last degree of Pisces, which, you know, the ancients called the last degree of Pisces the degree of death, because that was the last degree before it starts over again in Aries, like, you know, endings and beginnings kind of language. So it'll be interesting to watch people. And, you know, with Neptune, we use the word dissolve. And as you know, as a Pisces, things melt away around you. And so the beauty of this is what is it we're ready to let go of? And of course, I'm sure we'll talk about Pluto before the session's over here. But, you know, our life's dissolving away around us, and we don't yet know what that new thing is. And we have to go beyond the veils of this world to figure out what that is.
Well, you know, we have some very interesting coincidences that I've noticed. The first thing is that every new moon is at 20 degrees through March. And the second thing is Pluto is going to move into Aquarius in the middle of all this new energy. It's very exciting.
Well, and what I've been telling clients is, you know, Pluto started moving into Aquarius just barely, you know, half a degree between March and June of 2023, you know, earlier this year.
Yeah.
And come January 20th, it's going to move into Aquarius and really stay for 20 years with just a brief go back into Capricorn next fall. Anyways, with Aquarius, you know, one of the key words we use is expect the unexpected. You know, and so for all of us trying to do predictions on what this new year is going to bring, when you've got this, you know, eclectic, eccentric Aquarius coming in, you know, Lord only knows where it's all going to go.
The big word I've been using for it is freedom. In other words, I think you're going to be able to unhook from anything that's been bearing down on you, whether it's relationships, finances, your job. You're going to have to make changes to protect you, your mental health, and everything else.
And it's good that you say it that way, because the people who are, shall we say, not change-oriented, they like things the way they've always been, they're going to have problems with this. And the people who are saying, I'm ready for something new, I'm ready to try things in a fresh new way, they're going to really capitalize on this change of energy.
Well, I do think that we are going to have a change in governments all around the world during this time, because the energy is going to make us really have to. And it's going to be interesting to see how that works out, because a lot of rulerships are going to change. But also, it's time to really maximize on the possibilities, because there's so much way to manifest between now and April. April's going to bring changes with the eclipses. In fact, we have one eclipse in March, and Easter is on March 31st this year, very early.
Well, and the solar eclipse on April 8th is also going to be during a Mercury retrograde. And on top of that, it's basically going to have a path right from like Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, up through Texas and up into New England. And I always watch under the path of an eclipse, because things change.
I know. Well, let's hope that they're going to change for the better. So what can we expect with the winter solstice? Let's start there and go through Christmas and New Year's.
Sure. So first off, you know how astrologers have what's called temperament types. We like to give names to different types of charts. And all of the planets in the winter solstice chart are in half of the circle. So in other words, 180 degrees out of the 360 possible. And we call that a bowl shape. So if everybody just thinks a bowl, like, you know, like you put your fruit in or your cereal in the morning or something, the beauty of that is people can really focus on those things that are important to them, because the bowl is self-contained. The issue is that the other half of the circle is empty. And that means we do what we do and we ignore what we don't do, which, you know, on the nice level says, well, we can get real focused on the things that are really important for us to be dealing with. But it can also say, well, what are you ignoring in your life?
Well, how I've looked at that is that it's an arc, and it's the arc of the galaxy opening up to new energy. And if you meditate and go within and take your guidance from there, it's going to bring you to a higher level, and you really can't go wrong if you listen to your insides.
Yeah, and you know, the planet that leads, and what that means in astrology, it's the first planet that rises above the horizon, like in the morning, is going to be Venus. And we know Venus is love and money on the core earthly level of looking at it. And so everybody, for starters, is going to be looking at their relationships as to what's working and what's not working, or their budget with the finances, things of that nature. Since Venus is the what we call the lead planet in this particular chart.
Venus in.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Where is Venus? What sign is Venus
in? Oh, Venus is in Scorpio.
That's right.
The issue is it's opposite the planet Uranus, which, you know, Uranus is I want to be friends, and Venus is I want to be in love.
Yeah.
And so there's a little, how are we going to rebalance, you know, the friendship and our relationships? And one part wants stability. Venus and Scorpio want stability, and Uranus wants freedom and independence. And you used the word freedom, you know, a few moments ago.
Venus
perfect.
In Scorpio is desperate, and they can be ruthless, whereas Taurus, it's more of a feeling, but Venus can have a motive behind it.
Certainly going to be emotional.
I know. Well, we're going to take a break now for our weekly cosmic tip, and we'll be back after this with more discussion. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out with your weekly cosmic tip from December 18th to December 24th, 2023. This week can be very mentally productive. Begin by catching up all of your emails, Christmas letters, and packages along with the backlog of your to-do list. Tuesday's dreamy energy is best used for creative gift wrapping and artistic projects. Also, Tuesday and Wednesday are good for community and humanitarian service. The winter solstice is on Thursday, December 21st, bringing the Northern Hemisphere extended daylight on our way to spring. Romantic partners can be unreliable today, leading to hurt feelings. It may be the longest night of the year, but it's not the best romantic or date night of the year. On Friday, December 22nd, Mercury reaches the halfway point in its retrograde cycle. It's retrograde between December 12th and January 1st. It's time to start planning and laying out future projects, but don't carve anything into stone just yet. Mercury now moves retrograde from Sirius Capricorn into adventurous Sagittarius. Is it time to plan a trip? Where are you going for New Year's? Friday can be extremely productive, and this energy allows you to finish up the work and holiday preparations so you can relax and enjoy the long Christmas weekend. This is also a very social time, both personally and professionally. During this festive time, the planets are all lined up in one half of the sky in a pattern that astrologers call a bowl shape or a solar arc. A bowl contains something, yet the other half is missing. This suggests that for the coming 3 months, you will focus your attention on that which is the most important to you and ignore or minimize the rest of whatever life brings. Venus is the first planet that arises as a morning star, suggesting that your relationships and finances are high on the priority list. 5 of the 10 planets are in the Earth element, Capricorn and Taurus. There's no Virgo at this time. Earth tends to deal with practical matters, paying the house bills, buying the groceries, putting gas in the car, and money in the bank. Remember that Mercury is retrograde until January 1st, so it's best to leave some wiggle room in your plan. Saturday evening is very romantic and harmonious. You may join your friends and go out caroling. Christmas Eve has you busy as an elf preparing for Santa's gift pouch for everyone in your family and on your list. Gather everyone together to bake cookies, trim the tree, and prepare the meal for Christmas Day, if that's your tradition. Hope you all enjoy a happy holiday. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Visions of Reality. The website is new-visions.com. If you'd like to make a call to ask a question or book some time with me, the 24-hour answering service is 201-934-8986. Thank you for listening. And now it's time to return to tonight's program with Elizabeth Joyce and her guest, astrologer Mark Dodich. Well, hello, we're back. I'm here with Mark Dodich, my wonderful guest, and we're talking about the winter solstice in December through the spring equinox in March. So, Mark, let's pick up with New Year's Day.
Yeah. I'd actually want to start it off with New Year's Eve, if we could, and then work into New Year's Day.
Absolutely.
The moon is going to be moving into Virgo for New Year's Eve. Now, Virgo is not really what you'd call a party sign. So for those people who want to keep it simple and easy, Virgo's great. For people who are starting a New Year's cleanse, you know, like the diet or a cleanse, Virgo is the perfect energy for that. Or I know myself with that energy, I'm going to be cleaning my office, which has become very cluttered as I've, you know, upgraded to a new computer. Everything is all over the place.
Yeah, well, the other thing is that Mercury goes direct at the same time, and that's really going to make you want to clean.
That is a good point. And for people who are on the road, you know, in and around New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, obviously, we don't panic because Mercury's in retrograde. You know, we do RE words, retreat, revise, review, you know. So the idea would be, though, is it does roll our cars, our transportation, our computers. And so for people who are going to be on the road at the holidays, as Mercury's slowing down to go forward on January 1st.
You know what else it does?
January 1st is the day that it changes direction. But, you know, there's always a couple days before and after that are a little funky, let's say.
Well, Virgo is going to trine Taurus. So that would be Jupiter and Uranus. And the one thing about Virgo is that it does reveal false friends and people who might be feeding off your kindness. So, of course, New Year's is the time to clean it up, right?
Right. It's also about being of service. And my joke with Virgo is know the difference between service and sacrificial lamb. Because it's good to help, but it's not good to put yourself into self-sacrifice inappropriately with that kind of energy.
That's the point I was making. But I do think I've been urging my people to really take a look at their relationships. Because you really, for next year to be successful for you, you have to walk away from any kind of oppression and have the courage to do it.
And I would also add to that with the Pluto and Aquarius is willing to step out of your comfort zone and try new and different things.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know what our listeners have experienced, but based upon what my clients tell me, during COVID, people lost a lot of friends, a lot of groups and organizations shut down, and they've kind of been left in what I call monk land, you know.
True.
And with this Aquarius rules, groups, friends, organizations. And so my thinking is that, and there's going to be a lot of Aquarius energy. Mars and Venus and Mercury are all going to be in Aquarius in January and February at various times. To me, that's opening up to new groups, new friends, new organizations.
And you know what? We got a Virgo moon on the 1st, and then the new moon is in Capricorn. And that's good, too, because Capricorn is a perfect time to implement your New Year's resolutions and to manifest, don't you think?
I would agree with that, and I would double down on that as well, because Mars, you know, Mars, male warrior, get ambitious, moves into Capricorn on January 4th until just before Valentine's Day. So here we're going to have this, you know, this new moon in Capricorn, you know, builder, sacrifice in the short term for the long term good. And then we have Mars, which is the get off your backside and get things moving here. Go build, go create with Capricorn.
And I also think with Saturn in Pisces, that's going to affect Virgo. But Saturn in Pisces is very special because it's the end of the zodiac and it's here until 2026. And I think that that's going to be helpful, too, especially creativity.
I would say the nice way of talking about Saturn and Pisces is, first off, I always tell clients, think back to 1994 to 1996, because that was the last time Saturn was in Pisces. And so where were they restructuring their life, 94 to 96? And the beauty of it is Pisces opens up to a higher vision, and Saturn brings it down to Earth to work in the real world. Not often what I call woo-woo world.
Right, that's where the creativity comes in for me. Like writing a screenplay or writing a book or maybe even recording a song.
And the flip side is illusions get burst. If you're off in fantasy land, it'll bring you down to Earth and bring you back to reality with Saturn. So there's both sides to it. And I certainly wouldn't be doing get rich quick schemes with Saturn and Pisces.
No. The thing we have is that full moon in Leo, which I'm concerned about because that brings in explosive energy.
Well, and particularly because it's in the early degrees of Leo, which means that the sun will be in the early degrees of Aquarius, which is where Pluto is. And so we're tying in this heavy-duty transformative energy into a full moon. And, of course, at the full moon, you get to see very clearly, am I on track or am I not? And in Leo, of course, is your heart engaged in what you're doing, or are you just going through the motions?
And with the funny thing is we have no idea about Pluto and Aquarius because it was over 200 years ago. So we've got that in there, too.
Well, we know that the Revolutionary War was going on the last time Pluto was in Aquarius.
Oh, boy.
And there's certainly no shortage of revolutions going on in the world right now.
Absolutely.
And within our own government, you know. So.
But it can bring a positive outcome for the long term more.
I agree with you. And the one thing I address is all your clients say, oh, it's all going to change overnight. Well, Pluto's a generational. I mean, it changes by generation, and it's going to be in Aquarius till 2044.
Yeah.
So by the, you know, for those who will still be on the planet in 2044, it'll be a whole different world than we see right now.
Especially with technology and with the new things coming in.
Yeah.
But it also rules children. So maybe we'll be able to tone down on the terrible things that are happening with children. That I would like.
That hopefully you'll see Aquarius signatures and charts of like kids who have the ADHD and, you know, those various things. And hopefully we'll be able to get a handle on what's going on with that sort of thing with the kids.
I think it has to do with the new energy and DNA, but I think the result is going to be very surprising and very positive once we crack it. I really do. Then at the end of February, we have the full moon in Virgo. And that energy is part of really reviewing the relationships, especially after Valentine's Day.
Yeah, well, Valentine's Day, which leads up to the full moon that you're talking about, is going to have the moon in Taurus. And Taurus likes, you know, tangible things. They like sensual pleasures, massages and flowers and chocolate. You know, I know that's natural for Valentine's Day, but the moon in Taurus really likes those sensual pleasure things. But the other key is on Valentine's Day is Mars is going to be aligned with Pluto, which is a very volatile, don't walk on the bad side of town after midnight kind of a transit.
Yeah, it's sneaky too.
Yeah, yeah.
So that be careful going to your car in the dark and just be cautious with everything. Also, it can mean not enough coverage if there's something explosive in a town or in a city, that they wouldn't be able to have enough coverage to help.
Yeah, it rules murders and things like that. And, of course, Aquarius has to do with the whole aviation and aerospace industry.
Right.
And so that means Mars will be aligned with Pluto in Aquarius. And a couple days after that, like the 16th of February, Venus is going to move into Aquarius. And we really need to enhance our friendship and our social circle as a part of that, because I joke that Aquarius are like the people you meet at Starbucks. You know, you know their first name, you know a little bit about them, but you don't necessarily bring them home to cook.
Yeah, very distant. And Aquarius people are not one to think of marriage. They're one to think of like being a doctor or a researcher in the early part of their life. I find that they're very removed. And not emotional, like other signs.
Well, and we've already seen trends that younger people aren't getting married anymore. They might be living in groups or communities or friendship-type organizations. I would think that that's only going to get bigger.
I do, too. I think with the homeless that they're going to find a way to bring them into groups and communities. We almost have to at this point. What about property? I'm feeling something with property. I'm not sure really what. An energy could bring the government trying to take property.
I was thinking more in terms of because young people and first-time home buyers are really not able to afford to buy a home anymore, that there'll be some sort of collective, because Aquarius rules collective consciousness, some collective to be able to buy a house together or things like that that'll make
That's,
it easier.
I know that in Texas, what they wanted to do was take the backyard of people and put up 8 units of buildings so that they could house the homeless, and they're working on doing that. I think that's interesting. It depends on where it is, but it's interesting to take an empty backyard and put a building there for people to live in.
Well, and it'll be interesting because Aquarius doesn't do things in the way they've always been done. And most human beings by nature, we base where we're going based upon where we've been. And we're entering a whole new territory at this point in time.
They are.
And so we can't really judge where we're going based upon where we've been. It just isn't going to work anymore.
Because we've been very individual, and now we've got to think of other people around us. Don't you think, Mark?
I think so as well. And what's the old Chinese proverb? May you live in interesting times, or however that old thing goes. And I think that we're going to see both the good and the bad.
Yeah, well, of course, we always have, and we are having people try to force on us things that we really don't want. And it can make people feel very stagnant and very, I think as we first go into the Aquarian energy, like you said, the people that are traditional will be in shock as they go into the new adjustments.
Or just not want to be here anymore. I mean, my mother's 93 and she is not up to speed with anything new, and it's getting worse and worse.
Well, I'm getting up there, and you are too. We've been friends a long time. And so many people are surprised at my limited knowledge on the computer. But I started my website in the 1990s. So I do know the good, but most older people do not. They don't
True.
even know how to work a cell phone.
And you're going to fall further behind.
And the young kids can't imagine not having one. Do you think we could talk a little bit about the coins and having the money change? Do we have any energy on that?
Well, I think first off, there's a couple directions to go. One, Uranus and Taurus, which spends about 7 years in a sign for Uranus. It's technology and banks. You don't have to go to a physical bank anymore if you don't want to. You can use your phone. So I think the Uranus and Taurus, all the cryptocurrency, but also the highs and lows that have been associated with that would be a part of that. And so we'll see if Aquarius brings more of that in.
I think it will, but I hope it doesn't erase cash because that really would take our freedom away. And with that, we're going to take a break for our half hour, and Mark and I will be back to conclude after these messages.
Now more than ever, you need Elizabeth Joyce's sanitizing healing spray. It clears and cleans viruses and germs, and it helps to prevent spreading those viruses and germs. Elizabeth's sanitizing healing spray contains frankincense and sandalwood. You spray it as generously and as often as you need. You can order it online or call 201-934-8986. 201-934-8986. Elizabeth Joyce's Elixir Tea is really a healing tea. It's blended according to Ayurvedic principles and the chanting of Sanskrit mantras. So it assures a deep cellular healing, relief that flows from within. So drink Elizabeth's healing tea before you meditate. Order it online or call 201-934-8986. 201-934-8986.
This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. Let's communicate. Frank St. James passed away about a year ago, and I have not done many online readings since. However, beginning in August of 2023, I will be given one question readings on the second Sunday of every month. What I will need from you is your birth date, the state you are calling from, and one focused question. Not what will happen to me for the rest of the year, but questions like, will I get the job? Is it best for me to move at this time? Will I get my mortgage loan? These readings will begin on August 9th, 2023. To call in, the number is 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. I'm looking forward to communicating with you. Thank you. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Many of you know that I was very ill when I went to winter in Florida this year. I am still in recovery, but I want to be able to continue with my weekly radio shows. In order for me to do that, I need to have listener support. I am asking for donations to download the archives. When you support Let's Find Out, you will receive weekly updated shows. They are well researched and take about 3 days for me to write. Plus, you will become a Visions of Reality beacon of light. Please subscribe, and hand in hand, we will walk this road together. And remember, I know who I am, I know what I am, and I know how I serve. Sending you love and light. Thank you.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com, Station 1. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet talk radio on the planet. It's Let's Find Out. An honored guest come every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial toll-free 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com/Let's Find Out. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio. So now, Let's Find Out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
Did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man?
Mary, did you know
that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand?
Did you know that your baby boy walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God.
Oh, Mary, did you know?
Oh, Mary, did you know?
of all creation.
Mary, did you know
that your baby boy will one day rule the nation?
Did you know?
Did you know that your baby boy
is heaven's perfect land? The sleeping child you're holding
is the great I am. Mary, did you know?
This is Elizabeth, and I'm back with Mark Dodich, and we're talking about the time between the winter solstice and the spring equinox in March. So, Mark, we left off with the full moon in Virgo in February on the 24th.
Right, and so on one side, I say, you know, Virgo, simplify, purify, kind of like we talked with New Year's Day, be efficient, natural healing are all Virgo things. But the one thing that's also going on that day is Venus is making a challenge. We call it a square. So think of a 90 degree angle where two things want attention at the same time, but they want something different. Well, Venus and Jupiter is sensual pleasures. You know, I spend too much, I eat too much. So as long as people don't overdo, be it on the budget and the credit cards, or be it at the at a restaurant, it's not really a big scary planetary transit. But you know, one side saying simplify, and the other saying, hey, spend it while I got it. You know.
What I also see for this full moon is Jupiter trining it. And then it'll hit Uranus, so there could be an unexpected expense. So I would say really keep an eye on your pocketbook.
That, and also in particular your surrounding relationships, because a couple of days before that full moon, Venus and Mars, the two relationship planets, are going to align, what we call a conjunction. So I think that we're also going to see a lot of relationships. And we hadn't really talked about it, but the spiritual destiny nodes of the moon have been in Libra and Aries
right.
since July of 2023, and they spend about a year and a half in each of those polarities. And that means that on the bigger level, the more of the society level, Libra's relationships and Aries is independence. So everybody's going to be realigning their sharing versus their individuality as a part of this.
Especially since Pluto's in Aquarius. That's going to help with that for sure.
Or break a few relationships up, too.
I always say you have to be careful of water with Neptune and Pisces. And we're coming into March. And we have Saturn and Neptune and Pisces. So be careful of plumbing. Be careful of water. And when you're driving on the road, either with snow or rain at that time. Now we come into March. And we have interesting things in March. Right?
Yes, yes. Well,
March comes in
maybe getting a little ahead of ourselves, but we're, as you mentioned earlier, that we're coming to eclipses.
Yes.
And that will be certainly after the spring equinox, but I use 3 months on either side of an eclipse as its range. So it's appropriate to talk about, especially since we just talked about these nodes in Libra and Aries, because the lunar eclipse, which will be on March 25th, is in Libra, the sign of relationships. And the solar eclipse, which will be on April 8th, is, again, it's a pretty much a total eclipse on the east coast of the USA, is in independent Aries. So it's kind of emphasizing things we've already been talking about and taking them to another level, because eclipses bring up what's way down deep to the surface.
That's true. And then you have to look at your chart and find out what house it's in so that you get an idea of what the subject will be about.
Yeah, and just as an example, if your Libra lands in a seventh house, that maybe is your marriage or committed relationships. But if it's in your 10th house, maybe that's your career relationships.
That's
so, right. So that's where it's important to know your chart.
The equinox is in Cancer? The sun is coming into Aries, but what's the moon in?
The moon will be just barely moved into Leo that day. So in other words, it's changing as from Cancer to Leo. And Leo was, where's your heart engaged?
Yeah, but it'll be opposing Pluto too, so it can bring in some past life karma, and it can bring in people from the past.
You know, a thing I'd like to say about Pluto is, Pluto are changes you know you wanted to make or needed to make, but then you're faced with the reality of, oh my God, here they are.
Yeah.
Or when we were talking about Uranus earlier, Uranus is expect the unexpected, or Aquarius is expect the unexpected. So it's an interesting combination where Pluto is, I joke because where I live out in the West Coast, we have volcanoes all over the place. And the example I like to use is Mount St. Helens, we knew was active for 50 years. And then one day it woke up and changed maps, it changed roads, it changed our knowledge of things. We all knew it was coming, we just didn't know when, you know. And Aquarius, though, is expect the unexpected. So we know changes need to be made. And whether that's in politics or the Supreme Court or, how we deal with our homeless people.
All of that will be affected as well as overseas.
And
the Middle East, Russia, and the other countries.
Yeah, and obviously each country is going to be affected differently.
And what I've been sensing, Mark, is important. Where we are on the winter solstice and where we will be at the spring equinox and these eclipses is very, very different. Your life is going to change in these 3 months. That's why it's time now for you to meditate and make a plan so that when it happens, like a snap, like a whip, you'll be ready.
Yeah, and that dovetails with my philosophy is that, I may not be able to change some of the things going on out in the world, but I can change my frequency of vibration. And as you say, through meditation or healing old issues or whatever the stories may be that can take you to a higher vibration, that everyone has control of.
You know, it's making a decision. Like I give the example of a 30-year-old living in the mother's basement, not helping with the house, keeping to himself, and getting rid of that negative energy or changing it in some way, helping the person to heal and be independent, or having the person do more around and share more and carry the burden. That's going to happen as we go into these energies.
And Pluto burns bridges behind it. It's with Pluto, there is no going back anymore. And, so there are going to be some situations like the example used of the kid millennial moving back into the parents' basement or something. Don't be surprised if the parent says, I've had enough of this, and we're going to kick him out on the street.
That's right. Well, at least help him to become independent. I was talking about building bridges last week because we're going from the year of the rabbit, which is very jumpity and jittery and coming out of COVID, and we're going into the year of the dragon, which is the wooden dragon, which can help you build a bridge to success and leave your jittery, unfocused life and become stronger, more focused, more productive, getting ready for your new life. I think everybody's going to have a new life.
Yeah, and I'm not really the one to talk to about Chinese astrology, but I can say that I don't think I've ever been in a Chinese restaurant that didn't have a dragon mural or something somewhere. So dragons must be good if every Chinese restaurant you go to has one.
Well, dragon kills negativity and the dragon brings you your success, sometimes by snorting that fire, and that can be a tower moment, but a tower moment can be good because it'll take the debris away, like your volcano.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you know, at the Lunar New Year, which is the February 9th and 10th, to go backwards just a little bit, Mercury is going to be making a challenge, a square to Jupiter. And Mercury's lower mind and Jupiter's the higher mind. So somehow that lunar New Year is going to tie in astrologically to how do we put our higher philosophy into practical application in our day-to-day life?
Well, that might be the timing of endings. You know, saying goodbye, I'm moving away, or I'm going someplace else, or even leaving a job. But it also can be a decision to sell your old car and get a new one, or finally add that room onto the house. It can be both sides.
Yeah, it's any way you shake it, this quarter that's coming up is definitely a major transition. And that the people who are stepping into that transition, great. And the people who aren't are going to be dragged in kicking and screaming because Pluto takes no prisoners, you know. You come along.
It's really a building of the individuality and the inner spirit. And I think people are going to break free and then get rid of any harsh energy in their life.
Very positive. It's just my hope is that, see, Aquarius is what we call a fixed sign, which is great for endurance and perseverance, but they don't know when to let go when it's time. And what you'll get is, because we're already seeing it in the world, is you'll get two groups, just think of our politics here, that both say my way is the right way and nobody's willing to compromise, and then nothing gets done.
That's what's going to happen.
Somehow we've got to change that pattern.
Yeah, we do. We have to be able to have people that we can trust, that we lean on, that are leaders. We do need new leaders everywhere.
Yeah, and we need people that are willing to work together. And I know I'm not saying anything new, but with this Aquarius energy, the bad side of Aquarius can be my way or the highway. I know better than everybody else. And the good level is we step into higher ideals and then bring those ideals into the world.
And I think you do that after you break free. So what I've been saying is that you break free of the negative first, give yourself a little time, and then you go forward with your new life. And that, I think, will create a positive outcome. And I also think it will add to strength and long-range plans, because that's what we're forgetting, is long-range. Everybody wants it instantly, and that's going to end.
And, you know, one thing to remember for this quarter, we didn't really talk about it in the solstice chart, but as we said, the moon and Jupiter were aligned with each other, and they make harmony, what we call a trine. Think of a stable flowing pyramid to the sun and, of course, Mercury retrograde. And so there's actually a lot of harmony in the earth element. And again, that's Taurus and Capricorn in this case. And when you have harmony, you know, tend to those down-to-earth things that need to get done. You know, long-term planning, being willing to take a risk on your belief system to open up to a higher set of values is all set up in harmony for this solstice chart.
Or to learn something new. People resist learning. I don't know why, but they do. They don't want to bother. It troubles their brain, you know. I have to add more muscle to my brain. That's what I've been saying. But yeah, you do. That's what life is. That's what we're here for.
Well, and you know, if you don't change, the world around you changes. And it could just be as simple as I've just upgraded my laptop computer to Windows 11, a new computer, and part of me is really resisting the change. And it's just a simple thing I use every day in my life. And the other part of me is screaming, like, I didn't want to change. I knew how it worked before with the old system. And the other part says, you have to change. It's, you know, you have to do it. you know, otherwise you turn into an old fart, and I don't want that to happen to me.
Otherwise, apps don't work anymore. That's what's happening with mine. I really have to upgrade.
Yeah. But my point for listeners is it can be just the very simple stuff that you can start with. You don't have to, you know, make mountains out of molehills. Just start with core basics.
Yep.
Because that's what Earth elements do.
If you have a job change, it's important to ask yourself, what do I want to do now? Instead of saying, I'm going back to the same old, same old. Look within and see maybe if you can discover another talent.
And there's tremendous opportunity in this, the whole year coming. And it's just a matter of people saying, I'm ready for it and I'm going to open to it. And yes, it may step me out of my comfort zone, but I'm ready. Let's go.
So a little exercise would be to open your arms wide and then do a diva dance, a circle, you know, the whirling dervish, and say, I'm ready. That's a great exercise to do.
Perfect. Perfect.
Well, we're at the end of the show, Mark, and I really appreciate your being here with me tonight.
Well, thank you for the invite.
All right. This is Elizabeth Joyce. I'll be back next week. Next week is Christmas Eve. We will have a very special show with a lot of music. Thank you for listening and good night.
The load I bear in Stars tonight, oh sweet.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And now we're going to begin the meditation of expanding love and reaching for ascension, a Christmas meditation. Sit in a chair with both feet flat on the floor or in the lotus position, making sure your chin is parallel to the floor. Relax, have your spine straight and your legs uncrossed. Let's begin. The greatest love you can experience is in the communion with God in meditation. The love between the soul and the spirit is perfect love, the love we are all seeking. When you meditate, love grows. Pure energetic light and thrills pass through your heart. When you meditate deeply, a love will fill you that is indescribable. You will feel the Christ energies, the divine love, and you will be able to pass that love along to others. As you let go of all cares and concerns, you will find the peace within. O fountain of love, allow my heart to be flooded by your presence. Awaken eternally the higher consciousness of thy loving presence within me. Now, we'll go deeper. Inhale, intend your body, clenching your fists. Take three breaths in. Hold for four. Two, three, four. Exhale and relax all of your body. Do this again. Inhale. Tense your body. Clench your fists. Hold for four. Exhale. And relax your body. One more time. Inhale and tense your body. Clench your fists. Hold for four. Exhale and relax all of your body. Now we're going to do it one more time without the tension. Relax the body, relax the breath. Inhale. Hold for four. Exhale and relaxing all of your body. Now sit a minute and let the light begin to come into your crown chakra and behind your third eye. Now we can do the affirmation. Speak it softly. Then in a whisper, and then mentally. Thou art love. I am made in thy image. I am a cosmic light of love, in which I behold all planets, all stars, all universes, all beings, all of creation, as glimmering lights of love. I am the love that illuminates the entire universe and all universes combined. Thou art love, and I am made in thy image. I am a cosmic light of love. I am. Thou art love, and I am made in thy image. I am a cosmic light of love. I am. Thou art love, and I am made in thy image. I am a cosmic light of love. I am. Just hold that feeling, hold that vibration as long as you can. And remember your affirmation. Thou art love. I am made in thy image. I am a cosmic light of love. I am. Thank you.